Hi there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Missed out on Fetch this year or looking to revisit your favorite sessions? You are in luck. Fetch On Demand is here to bring you practical, real-world, continuing education anytime, anywhere. No matter your schedule, you can access expertly curated content that's designated to meet the challenges you face every day in your clinic. From cutting-edge medical insights to hands-on practice tips, Fetch On Demand is your ultimate resource for staying at the forefront of veterinarian medicine. So what are you waiting for? Visit dvm360events.com, click on Demand, and start learning at your pace today. Fetch On Demand, education without limits.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We're going to talk about disaster preparedness and, you know, what our friends in North Carolina have experienced this past year and, you know, could potentially experience it again. And also, you know, this can happen to any of us in our area. So joining me is Dr. Shannon Bass. How are you, my friend?
Doing really well. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So a little bit of information about our wonderful colleague, Dr. Bass. She grew up in veterinary practice and spent 19 years in clinical practice after graduating from Texas A&M College of Veterinary Medicine. And she worked as a general practice doctor, emergency veterinarian, acupuncturist, and medical director of a specialty emergency hospital. And after almost two decades of practice, Dr. Bass moved into veterinary recruiting, focusing on specialty and emergency roles. And she's currently the vice president of medical leadership at Vets Pets, a group of veterinary hospitals in North Carolina, an organized veterinary hospital. Organized veterinary medicine is something Dr. Bass is passionate about, and she enjoys serving as the current president of the North Carolina Veterinary Medical Association and co-chairs of VECS committee working on emergency medicine certificate for veterinary students. She's a conference speaker and podcast guest that we have here. And outside of work, Dr. Bass enjoys traveling with her husband, her two sons, and three-legged Labrador mix. And she's an endurance athlete, yoga instructor, and adventurous cook. My goodness, that's a lot.
I know. You didn't have to read all of that.
But it's worth enjoying and celebrating you. You do phenomenal work. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Okay. Well, let's back up a little bit and kind of, if you don't mind, refreshing our listeners a little bit about, you know, what happened in North Carolina, and talk to us about the response effort that was involved.
So at the end of September in 2024, Hurricane Helene hit the United States, made landfall in Florida, and then came north through Georgia and South Carolina, and then was technically a tropical storm by the time that it was in western North Carolina, but it still had winds and rain that had never been seen in that area before, at least in recent memory. The last flood of this nature was in 1917, I believe, in western North Carolina. So truly a 100-year flood kind of situation. And so the topography of that area, it's mountainous, right? And there are a lot of really small communities that are nestled in these valleys of the mountains in western North Carolina. And these communities are next to very picturesque rivers and streams. And so when all of this rain and wind came through, we saw flooding coming down through these picturesque rivers and streams that swept whole communities away. That water coming down through those rivers picked up roads, and the roads were just gone. And then we had tons of mudslides that caused a tremendous amount of damage as well. So there's all kinds of video footage of homes floating down the river and homes buried in mud. And so power was wiped out. The city of Asheville, their water treatment plant was completely destroyed, including a lot of the piping that was associated with that water treatment plant. So post-storm, the city of Asheville didn't have any water for several weeks, and then they got water, but it wasn't drinkable water. But those guys were really excited when they got water because they could now flush their toilets, which prior to they had to be bringing water in to pour it into the back of the toilet to flush the toilet. So just really massive devastation on all kinds of levels that occurred in a third of our state.
Yeah, it's awful, absolutely awful. I was talking to some of the veterinarians where, their clients were up in the mountains and they just could not even get to them at all. So just awful. So what were some learning things that we've learned? So what did you learn in, say, week one when this hit?
It was awesome to see how much people wanted to help. And so, very, very quickly, there were lots of veterinarians that wanted to help. And that's actually how NCVMA got involved at the beginning, is the State Department of Ag is who leads this response from the beginning. But they were overwhelmed with the actual on-the-ground rescues and certified search and rescue teams that were in there and doing all those things that trained professionals need to go in and do. But then we had a lot of veterinarians and technicians that were saying, I want to go in and help. I want to go in and help. And so the NCVMA, part of our mission, it seems like, is organizing veterinarians. And so we got involved working in conjunction with the Department of Ag to send veterinarians into places that they needed to go. And so it was great to know how many people wanted to help. And then we got a crash course in volunteer management.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that was like. And then by week two, I'm just reading on your notes here. This is unbelievable. You had five specific projects that were, matching volunteers with needs from the North Carolina Department of Agriculture is one example. What were some other ones that you've had?
So we had a veterinarian who her practice was destroyed in the flood. She was an associate at a practice that was destroyed, and she wanted to be able to still serve her clients, many of whom, of course, live near the practice. So their homes had sustained tremendous damage, and their pets had needs. And so we were helping to support her with a free pop-up clinic that was serving one of these very, very hard-hit areas. There were only two veterinary practices in the area. One was destroyed and one was very significantly damaged. So we were helping her with supplies. A mobile van was donated by a South Carolina veterinarian for her to use. We helped her with volunteers and things like that. So that was another big thing that we did. We also, on our website, had 30 volunteers that worked from home. So they were typically in eastern parts of our state. But they each had 10 hospitals each that they were calling and trying to stay in touch with. Is your hospital damaged? What kind of help do you need? Do you need supplies? What do you need? I mean, we were keeping a running list of that active on our website. And so that was a really big effort that involved a lot of people. Then we were also the recipients of a lot of donations, which was amazing. And so we were keeping track of all that, and they were earmarked for disaster funds. And then we had to do a lot of grant learning about how to give grants and what the needs were and how do we not conflict with FEMA grants and things like that. So there were a tremendous number of things that we learned.
And my understanding, it looks like the Friends of NCVMA has awarded more than $60,000 to date.
And now that's more than when I
Yeah.
wrote that. So now we're up to over $100,000, and our
Wow.
work in the western part of the state is continuing. One of the biggest ongoing things we have is one of the biggest spay neuter providers there was a rescue that their facility was located truly on an island in the middle of the river. So their facility is completely gone. So that created a spay neuter backlog in the area. And then the ASPCA has a really large spay neuter facility there. And their facility wasn't damaged, but they didn't have water for a very long period of time. So they are still delayed in the number of surgeries that they typically can do. So we are partnering with NC State College of Veterinary Medicine to use some of our donated funds to come in and do spay neuter weekends with volunteer surgeons, and we're working with county shelters to do shelter animals and get those animals spayed and neutered.
Incredible. Great job. And you talk about demobilizing too, and that's got to be so time consuming and also so emotional, right?
It was really interesting when one of the other great donations we had is on the coast of North Carolina, a veterinarian had a large animal truck that she wasn't currently using. And so she contacted us and said, can anyone use my truck? And there was a mobile practice that their mobile van had been destroyed in the hurricane. So they used this donated large animal truck in order to keep that business operating. So that mobile veterinarian still operating and seeing patients. So then they got a new van. And so then we had to get the truck back to its owner in Eastern North Carolina. And even, stopping some of those things was, it was great because I was so glad that that mobile practice had a new van. but you're doing that. And then we had supply depots. We had about five animal hospitals spread throughout the western part of the state that didn't have damage, and they were storage centers for donated supplies. So vendors made lots of different donations. All the big drug vendors made donations, and we would send those to these hospitals and then deliver them from there. So we had shelving and things like that that we had brought into those locations that we had to go in and disassemble. And so it was interesting the things that had to be kind of cleaned up at the end.
And there's so many learning, it's obviously a learning curve, but what would be some things that you would say to the listeners out there who are in veterinary medicine? I mean, we're seeing what's going on with our friends in California, for instance. You just don't know. You really just don't know. This can happen to all of us. Are there any pieces of advice you would give to veterinarians out there about disaster preparedness?
I would say the first thing is do not self-deploy and just run into a disaster area. So we saw a number of instances where people were very well intentioned, but it didn't necessarily go well when they weren't in contact with other people in the area. So supplies, and this is supplies across the board, not just veterinary supplies, but people were just donating things and would show up in Western North Carolina and say, I've got this truck full of stuff. And the stuff they had wasn't the stuff that people needed. And so we were trying to stay really in contact with folks on the ground from using the Department of Ag, using our veterinarian members that were there, and all that big group of volunteers. It was saying, what do you need? And we would get them what they needed. But we had veterinarians that would show up sometimes with truckloads full of supplies and a desire to help, but they wanted to set up and do a free clinic in a Walmart across the street from an operating veterinary hospital. And that wasn't really what was needed at that time. And so when we heard about that, what I would do is make connections with that person who wanted to help and that veterinary hospital across the street, and I would get them on the phone, and then they would typically work together and they would donate those supplies and help that veterinarian. But it required a lot of communication. So I would say work with your local VMAs, your state VMA, if there's a city VMA, whatever, work within a system rather than just packing your truck full of supplies and driving into the disaster area.
Absolutely. And the communities like to get involved too. So not just, I'm assuming not just the veterinary professionals too, but pet owners and alike, they really want to get involved. So it sounds like it's a collaborative approach to disaster preparedness.
It really is. And we saw so many examples of a shelter might say, I need cat litter. And so pretty quickly, what we saw within a few days, they'd get cat litter. But then someone would find that social media post a week later and start to propagate it again. And then the shelter would get the second and third and fourth wave of cat litter that they didn't need at that time. And they had no place to store it at that time. And so it was really tricky when you saw kind of this glut of supplies. And then on the non-veterinary side, when I was there a few times, you would drive by churches that had just tables of soaking wet clothes in their parking lot because so many random clothes had been donated with no real destination that they were just going to get thrown in the trash.
It's unbelievable. And I know the AVMA has some resources through their website as well, right? They have some
They have
good.
great resources, and the AVMF, the American Veterinary Medical Foundation, they donated to the NCVMA. They were great partners. They have wonderful grants as well. And so any AVMA member, and I do think they even have a set of grants for non-members. And so the AVMA has been a really great partner for us. We were able to establish two different grants that were new just for this disaster. One were veterinary community grants, and those were $300 grants that were available to any veterinary staff member. All they had to do was prove to us that they were employed at a veterinary hospital on the day of the storm. They didn't have to have receipts, it didn't have to be for any specific expense. It was a community grant for those individuals, and that has felt really good. It's not a ton of money, but it's something to help folks in that area. Then we had veterinary practice grants that were $2,000 grants aimed at practice owners. And they did have to have receipts or invoices for free care that they provided potentially to animals or clients that were affected by the storm, cleanup expenses, repair expenses, anything like that. And then we had existing disaster grants that were aimed to reimburse veterinarians for insurance deductibles. This was a very unique disaster in that most of these veterinary practices did not have flood insurance. And so they didn't, in a lot of cases, they didn't have an insurance claim to make.
Scary. Yeah, really scary. Okay, so this is really good information. So are there any other websites or resources that you can provide the listeners with, or those are?
So our website right now, the ncvma.org website, is still full of all kinds of information, links to FEMA grants and things like that. That was another thing that our staff did a really good job of in the first few days, was really sourcing the web and finding all the grants that veterinarians and staff might be able to get, whether that was FEMA, AVMA, our stuff. Not One More Vet has some grants. There are many groups. And so we did see, as this unfolded, veterinarians that had both survivor's guilt, we would try to give them help. And they would say, no, I think there are other people that need that more. And in the last couple of weeks, I started to say, no, those other people, that's you.
Right, right.
You need to take whatever it is that I'm offering you today.
Yes.
And so we saw some survivor's guilt. And then we also saw cognitive overload, that we would have veterinarians say, what grants are available to me? And we would send them this email with all these links, and they would reply to that email, right, but what grants are available to me? Because it's just intimidating. I mean, it's tax season right now, right? So none of us like to fill out a lot of forms to get anything done. But any of these grants require you to fill out a complicated form that says why you're eligible for that money. And so we really saw a lot of cognitive overload, and we did help some of those veterinarians to wade through that. And that's a place that I think we will try to do more faster next time, more work and do that faster. Probably next time that we have a disaster in North Carolina, using veterinary students is really what we want to do, is having vet students that are going to be technologically savvy, probably given their age, and pair them with a veterinarian that might be having cognitive overload because they're in the face of a disaster, and try to get them to help with grant approval and applications.
Awesome. Great information. Dr. Shannon Bass, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, and big shout out to the NCVMA for all the great work that your team is doing there.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.